News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
All right, welcome aboard, everybody. It's the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. We'll start out without open phones. We have a good guest here, and then about halfway through, we'll open up the phones if folks have a question for Trevor Finn. He is a firefighter, a Democratic candidate for 108th District State House, hoping to be the replacement for Linda Slagle-Culver, whose 108th District extends into Monter County. She picked up, or the 108th picked up a lot of the areas that Kurt Mosser had relinquished when the redistricting went into effect. He is a Democrat county commissioner for 19 years, you say. Get very close to that mic and say that I remember you telling me it was 19 years.
It was 19 years, yes.
All right, well, fantastic. Well, welcome aboard. Boy, you got a good voice, too. And volunteer firefighter EMT, so you're still making runs with
the... We still make runs, yep. I'm the chief engineer for Washington Fire and Hose in Danville.
Yeah, Deanna Force says, make sure you pay attention to your fire company and the rest of them. You're over in Riverside, right?
Nope, we're in Danville.
Oh, you're Danville proper, okay. All right, I've talked to you about your ambitious daughter and other topics over the years. So
yes.
You got a lot going on. What's her story now, real quick?
Well, I have two daughters, and one is an emergency room nurse. She's also an interior firefighter, and she's married to a police officer. And my other daughter is a first-year resident at Hershey.
Wow, good for you. Okay, so smart kids. Yeah, they are occasionally stirred the pot a little at the Danville High School, but it's all good stuff when you look at it the way I do.
Yes.
You know, so. All right, Trevor, you want to be, I'm sorry, John Shipman, U.S. Army veteran.
Good morning.
A businessman, retired but still working hard, and just a super community provider as well, is our good guest co-host today. All right, so running for 108th District, what's the elevator speech that goes with that?
Well, first of all, I'd like to reach out to all the Vietnam veterans. We recently honored them at a commissioner's meeting. It's been a long time. Welcome home. And I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, 50 years. Hard to believe that so much time has passed, a half a century. Well, and I think your commissioner's board seems to have, not a soft spot, that's not right, a real respect for all veterans. I mean, I see different plaques and individuals get honored there.
We do, absolutely. Currently, we have three people that are working in our Veterans Affairs office, which is quite a lot for a county our size. And we recently appointed a Veterans Affairs Advisory Board made up of four gentlemen that have served. So we want to do what's right by the veterans at all times.
All right, 108th District. What are you telling folks that a new state representative named Trevor Finn would do for them?
Well, I'd like to bring my experiences from Montour County to the 108th District. Three things I really want to focus on are economic development. I need to focus on advancing the cause of all citizens and protecting our rural heritage. You know, we're all from small town Pennsylvania. We all have those same experiences. I was talking with John earlier about our experiences growing up and about playing in the parks, or as John said, he actually made a park. He made a baseball park when he was a child. So, you know, we want to make sure that our children and our children's children grow up in the same safe communities we do. In order to accomplish this, some of the things we need to focus on with economic development is to foster industrial expansion to create fair wages. We have done that in Montour County. I'd like to bring that to the 108th. I've also worked in Sunbury, you know, worked with Drive, with the Sunbury Hospital, and with the Sunbury Textiles. So we have gone beyond just Montour County, and we've worked in the entire region.
And Danville's home to the Drive offices now, correct?
We are, yes, we are. And if you go down where the Drive offices are, it used to be an industrial complex that was, you know, pretty worn down, and the companies moved out, and now it's vibrant, it looks better. There's jobs going on in there, and we have, you know, my next point would be entrepreneurial opportunities also, because We have lots of new startup businesses in the incubator working with Bucknell SBDC and Startup Danville.
Well, and I'll say this because you might not think of it. The fact that Drive exists and they've done a tremendously good job lately, Jennifer Wakeman and staff just are, you know, doing the work of 100 agencies around here. You were a primary instigator, pusher, puller together of, interviewer for Jennifer and Drive.
Yes, yes. I'm a founding member of Drive, and I actually initiated the broadband project that we have going on right now. With a friend of mine, we were out having something to eat, and we thought it up, and then we brought it to Jennifer. She went to Geisinger, got some money for the pilot program, and now it's in all five counties where we have microwave technology beaming broadband internet to all the folks and signing up hundreds of people.
Right. Well, I don't hold it against you that she was our news director here when she went there.
Well, you know a little more than the average Joe, though.
Yeah. We filled the position, so it's okay now. But I think this is some of the stuff might not be what folks would think of as typical progressive democratic ideas, you know, to grow another agency. But look how it's paid for itself already. Describe yourself. If somebody says, well, I'm not voting for Trevor Finn, he's a D, all right? Tell us about the kind of Democrat you are.
Yeah, so I'm an independent thinker, and I would call myself a centrist. I am fiscally conservative. I mean, we have worked on our budget, and we go tooth and nail on it to try to figure out how to bring down the cost, but you also have to run, and you have to have those services available. So, I would say I'm probably, people would classify me as center of the road.
All right. If somebody wants to use sort of the old Republican ideals, what would it be? Balanced budget, smaller government? What's another one, John?
Those are the two big ones.
In what way have, as a Democrat, have you tried to expand government and, keep taxes low?
I think you're probably going in the wrong direction. When I became a commissioner, we had roughly 120 employees at Montour County. We're down to 66, I believe, now. So we have reduced the amount of employees. We didn't reduce the services, though, because what we did is we regionalized with other counties. We worked in cooperation with other counties. That's something I'd like to see at the state level also. I think there's ways to bring that down. We have a lot of employees at the state level. I don't want anybody to lose their jobs, but maybe we can find ways to do this smarter.
Okay, John?
Okay, let me be the devil's advocate here. I've heard this from other candidates, and then they get to Harrisburg, and the pressure's on from the Democratic leadership and so forth, and all of a sudden they become big spenders. Even some of our Republicans go down there and get and turn into big spenders. So how are you going to maintain your physical conservatism in a party that just never saw a dollar that they didn't want to spend?
Well, I don't know if that's just the case with the Democrats, but also the Republicans and the Independents. I think you're right that when people get to the state house or get to that level, they lose their base a little bit. But I'm firmly grounded in the 108th. I grew up not having a lot of money, but I grew up stable with a mom and dad that cared about me and my brother and sisters around me, and we always knew where the next meal was coming from, but we knew we didn't spend outside those limits. You know, my mom and dad would buy old used cars. I realize who the people are that are paying the taxes here. One of the things I was looking at through the budget is actually the corporate net income tax used to be 9.9%. We're looking now to bring that down as low as 4%. That's something that might spur economic development and bring better-paying jobs. So, I'm not eager to spend other people's money, as some would think I would be as a Democrat. I'm always looking for the best bang for the buck, though.
Well, maybe some Democrats would say you're not Democratic enough.
I may face against the left saying that I'm not far left enough.
What would their foothold be for that? Give me an example, maybe budgetarily or something along that line.
Yeah, I think mainly because I'm, as far as spending goes, I am pretty stingy on that. But again, in Montour County, when we knew we needed to spend a little more to retain the folks that we had and attract new people, that's what we did.
All right. Back in the county, you said that there was you reduced the number of employees down to 66. How did you accomplish that? That's almost like Vinnie Clausi style cutting there. Sorry, I don't know.
Here's the thing. Hi, Vinnie. How are you? I wish you well. Vinnie's not a bad guy at all. I've eaten in his restaurant. I know Vinnie well, and I wish him luck. So the way that we've accomplished that, and when I say we, because I'm not alone. I served my first term with two Republicans. My next two terms, so that's 8 years, I served as chairman with a Democrat and another Republican, and now I'm with two Republicans these last two terms. And we worked very well together to make sure that we could still provide these services. So one of the things we have done is we have combined our 911 center, saved millions of dollars doing that, and providing better service. We have a digital system now that's hooked up with the state police, and the state actually now maintains some of our equipment, which is a huge savings to us. We had our own transit agency, and it was doing well, but we needed to expand that. We needed to offer better services, so we teamed up with Rabbit Transit to do that. So those are some of the ways that we've accomplished this. We keep minimum staffing. We have so many people that wear multiple hats. When I said we had three people in Veterans Affairs, one of them, Greg Molter, is the director of Veterans Affairs. He's also the director of Human Services. He's also the director of Zoning and director of Planning. And he happens to be a minister at two churches and a Derry Township supervisor. So we have folks that work very, very hard, and I'd like to see that same type of thing in state government.
That's almost like a Dr. Seuss hat wearing there, with the firefighter's hat and the commissioner's hat and the county hat and the human service hat and the township hat, one right on top of the other. The township hat's a ball cap, so that just stays comfortably at the top. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will open up the phone lines if somebody has a question for Montour County Commissioner Trevor Finn. Is running on the 108th District State House seat. It's a special election coming up during what is otherwise a county and municipal election that is coming up in the 108th District. Are you up for re-election as a commissioner this year?
I am up for re-election, and I am on the ballot as commissioner also.
All right, fabulous. So a resourceful person will find his name at two locations. Firefighter and EMT, got a question about politic or county government? Call us now, 570-743-9565.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Having a Montour County Republican committee meeting here with, oh no, Democrat, never mind, Trevor's a Democrat. Kevin Herr came in the suit.
Hey, my friend.
Came in. Are you okay, buddy? You guys are going to have to get a room. You're good friends. See, this is bipartisan friendship, right?
We go back a long way.
Okay. Like how far? Like 50 years far?
Probably at least 10.
Jeez. That's not a long way.
when you're youthful like us.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that is true. Yeah, proportionally speaking, that's
good
a long time.
Kevin.
I'm 63, so 50 is nothing, and you're probably approaching 70 if you're not above it. I don't want to give out your age. John Shipman is here, a good co-host. He is a Republican. He's a Sunbury Council man. He's been a treasurer in the city and a real community volunteer. You got more questions you want to ask our good candidate here? Oh, let me remind folks, we're going to open up the phones. If you would like to call us, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. John, another good question for our guest.
A couple of things. Up here in rural central Pennsylvania, we like to our guns, and we shoot. Some of us shoot just for sport, and some for hunting. How do you feel about permitless carry?
Oh, that's an easy one for me. So I also am a gun owner, and I am a responsible gun owner. I lock my guns up when I'm not using them. So in my training... My training was you never pull your gun out unless you're going to use it.
Right.
Okay. So use it for hunting, use it for sport, use it for self-defense. You're not going to see that unless it's going to be used. I think the permitless and the constitutional carry is just asking for trouble. I really, truly do. Because I worry for the people that carry that they are the target. And that's why I wouldn't do it, because I wouldn't want to be the target.
Now, this is concealed carry without a permit we're talking about?
I was talking about the constitutional carry, but yeah.
Now you can carry a gun without, if it's hanging on your hip, you can carry.
Open carry is already legal, but concealed carry,
that's illegal.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like any gun permitting at all whatsoever, so I'm opposed. But nobody seemed to ask me. I think everybody should be mandatorily required to carry a gun, but so far, no takers on that idea. Lance from Herndon, I already briefed John that you were going to ask these questions, so you please go right ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. Of course, we hear about how he feels about the guns and also about abortion and capital punishment. Three things that I'm sure are really going to be well debated if he does get elected.
All right, Lance, we'll make sure he answers those questions. Thank you so much for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Much appreciated. All right. So in terms of any gun control, I wish to elaborate. That was one specific question about the permitless carry. And you, just to repeat, you're in favor of permitless carry or not?
I'm not in favor of permitless carry.
Okay. No. All right. Any other changes in gun laws that would make us safer?
Well, I mean, there's common sense things. We have right now, we're putting in a rubber room actually at our jail. Our jail was built in 1892. This is the first time we're doing something like that.
A what room?
A rubber room, a room that people can't hurt themselves.
Okay.
Because addiction and mental illness are just on the rise, especially after everybody was locked down during COVID. So we need to make sure that, you know, guns don't enter the hands of people that can't responsibly own and carry them. So that's something I think that the state needs to look at. But, you know, these topics are all just these wedge issues that keep coming between Democrats and Republicans and independents. There's so many things that I think the state government needs to focus on. I think we need to get away from the wedge issues. We need to get away from the constant hearings, pointing fingers at one another, saying that the other side is bad. That's why people don't trust politicians. That's why they don't trust their elected representatives anymore, is because we're out there just clamoring bell saying the other side is bad, and I don't believe that. You just saw that Kevin came in. He's on the other side of the aisle from me, and we get along just fine. I think that when you look at local politics in the counties and more than that in the municipalities, that the Democrats and Republicans and independents are getting the job done. if you elect me to the 108th, I'm going there to get the job done.
All right, abortion, you're pro-life or pro-choice?
Again, these are all just wedge issues that we're coming up against.
Where do you stand on them?
I am a Catholic, personally. I am pro-life, but, we have to use common sense in government. We can't be putting children that are, being raped by their uncles and making them deliver a baby. I got a story of someone that was Catholic and did not believe in abortion, and her child was dead inside of her, and she would not have an abortion for the dead child, and waited until her life was in danger, and finally, was able to do that. So my personal views on abortion and being pro-life and being a Catholic don't necessarily resonate with what all the laws should be.
All right, and death penalty. How pro-life are you?
Well, there you go. That's an easy one for me, actually. I don't believe that the state should be taking lives. And if you are pro-life, I don't know how you can be pro-life and not look at all life. We have to protect our children from school shootings. We need to do the best to protect the unborn while women still having the rights of their own bodies. And, who are we to say that somebody needs to die? And what if we made a mistake?
Okay,
then we're breaking
not
God's
in favor
commandment.
Of the death penalty. That's no. That's pretty consistent with what we've had in Harrisburg lately. Bill, you have a question for our guest, Trevor Finn, Democratic candidate, 108th District State House special election.
Yeah, I'd like to know just the current events as of yesterday was Trump is going to be indicted. What is your opinion about the double standards as far as the Democrats continuing a four-year investigation on Hunter Biden and which in the end result of the continuation of that, they cannot go after Hunter and they cannot put Biden in jail. What is the double standards and to go after this man and prove that the coup is bought and paid for as the world leaders of lying to take away the American dollar from the barrel of oil.
All right, we got
it.
All right, thank you so much, Bill. All right, so I'll translate into statewide issues. We have an uneven justice system. If you got a ton of money, you don't get the same kind of treatment an indigent person gets. And at the same time, Democrats are more aggressive in going after President Trump, unfairly so, in the minds of many. Your view on these topics?
Again, we're bringing these national topics and these wedge issues into some place that they don't belong. I think the endless hearings and all the stuff where we're pointing fingers and saying statements like this, I just think they're wrong. One of the things that we did when we were approached by the Second Amendment folks about having a Second Amendment sanctuary in Montour County, I proposed something different. I said, why not make Montour County a Bill of Rights sanctuary? And I think that's what we need to do, and I think that's what we did. And we voted on it. We're a Bill of Rights sanctuary. It's just a resolution. It doesn't hold a lot of weight, but it says that we respect all of those rights. One of those rights are to be able to be treated equally, no matter how much money you have, and especially those indigent people that need legal representation. One of the things that I would work on in the legislature, and I believe it's a proposal by Governor Shapiro, is to actually fund public defenders for the first time. We have funded it traditionally and county
level.
Yep.
Right. I got to stop you there because we got to move along because I want you to be sure to have a closing statement. Lee, you have the floor. Go ahead. What is your question for Trevor Finn?
Yes. Given your long tenure as a Montour County Commissioner, what do you feel are your greatest accomplishments in the political arena thus far?
All right. Thank you, Lee. Good question. All right. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, that's a question that I think it can answer fairly well. I think my greatest accomplishments have been with Drive and bringing economic development to the entire region. I'm very proud of our accomplishments. I am proud of the fact that we have, continued to balance the budget, that we continue with a fully funded pension, and that we have treated people fairly, or we tried to treat people fairly, and Montour County is an example. We have the lowest unemployment rate in the state. We worked hard to get people vaccinated.
One more question.
In a second. Yep. Okay. Go ahead and finish that.
We kept people vaccinated and safe, and we kept county government open during the pandemic. We never shut down. We never furloughed anybody.
We got a yes or no question. Yeah.
Just a real quick question. I agree with you on the vitriol and so forth. Are you willing to condemn Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all those people just as strongly as you would condemn a Republican?
I don't think you heard me condemn anybody. And, one of the things that I'm hoping my opponent agrees on is we are not going to campaign. My campaign is not going to campaign Holy Thursday through Easter Sunday. My Savior did not teach me to condemn anybody.
All right, you're going to have a sit down with Mike Stender at some point. If he'll call you back, right?
He'll call me back.
Okay, fine. Not everybody agrees on the bipartisan nature of our guest here. Trevor Finn, running for 108th District State House seat. This is WKOK.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, taking great care of us, as he always does. So we appreciate his help and hard work. We got a U.S. veteran. Thank you for your service. I always say that as our co-host today. Mr. John Shipman is here, active community volunteer, and we're glad to say he's back up today. We had Trevor Finn here, county commissioner, and he's running for 108th District State House. He happens to be a Democrat. I always try to get this in. If you want to follow him, www.votefinn, F-I-N-N, 108.com. So that'll be his 108th District State House seat. On the Mark is sponsored, or is the campaign site. There we go. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can call us 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@WKOK.com, and you can text us at 70236. Always include the keyword OTM. We do have very brief news headlines here. We're talking about what appears to be the beginning of the end of the pandemic. The number of new COVID-19 deaths in Pennsylvania now below 100 for the first time in about a year. State Department of Health's weekly update shows statewide there are now 90 new deaths reported in the past week. That's 16 fewer than the week before. Health Department also says hospitalizations are down at Geisinger, Shamokin, no longer any COVID patients there. Geisinger Danville has 21 patients instead of the 70-some or 100-some they had during the peak of the pandemic. And at Evangelical Community Hospital, 4 patients. I think they had a peak of 70-some patients there at the height of the pandemic. First day of trout fishing is tomorrow.
You can purchase it on your phone at fishandboat.com or on our mobile app, Fishboat PA, or at over 700 issuing agents. These are sporting goods stores that sell licenses around the Commonwealth.
That's Tim Schaefer, the head of the Fish and Boat Commission, talking about how you can get your fishing license. You'll need one if you're 16 or older, and you can have, I think, 6 of those 3 million trout that they stocked. Do you still do a lot of trout fishing, John?
I don't. I used to love to fish, I had a partner and buddy that we fished together, and when he was no longer able to do that, I sort of lost interest. It's not much fun to go fishing by yourself.
Well, I got a list with 912 things on it, and
I know
I had to cross out something, so that's not working out. But certainly a lot of fun going out trout fishing. Leaders of Pennsylvania state-related universities are noticing a phenomenon. It is students who are entering college who have been pandemic like impacted. And we don't mean in terms of their health. It has to do with their academics.
Penn State President Neely Bendapudi says the university is aware of and addressing the learning loss and social isolation which occurred during the pandemic.
And at Penn State, more summer programs, more opportunities for students to socialize, make it okay to ask for help.
University of Pittsburgh Chancellor Patrick Gallagher says faculty members have also been impacted by student learning loss.
A lot of this is focused on giving them the tools to identify this loss, identify students who need support, make sure that they have the resources outside the classroom to redirect them, and a lot of focus on academic counseling and mentoring.
Depending on how old students were when they experienced learning loss due to the pandemic, Gallagher expects institutions of higher education to be dealing with this issue for the next decade and a half. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And one other news story. There's going to be a big trial potentially in the future in the first of what are several ongoing investigations and possible indictments. A former president of the United States stands accused of criminal behavior.
I'm Tom Foti. A New York City grand jury has handed up an indictment of Donald Trump in a case involving the handling of payments to an adult film performer just before the 2016 election. The specifics are under court seal. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
What will happen next is that Donald Trump will have to come to court and be processed, be fingerprinted, be photographed, and be required to appear before court and enter a plea, guilty or not guilty, regarding these charges.
A Trump lawyer told CBS News overnight that is expected to happen early next week, probably on Tuesday. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
But that is not the biggest trial that is being talked about. Did you know about the big acquittal yesterday? Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, yes, I did read about that.
Is off the hook in her ski crash lawsuit. A jury in Utah found her not responsible for an accident on the slopes in 2016. A 76-year-old doctor claimed the collision ruined him physically and mentally, and he was asking for $3 million in damages. Paltrow countersued for $1. He'll have to pay that to her, plus her legal bills, which probably won't be cheap, because she probably hired a good lawyer. All right, so yeah, that's the big case of the year. All right, Donald Trump indictment. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm not surprised. The DA there is pretty far left wing, and he's been out to try to do something. Actually, the whole New York legal system has been trying to do something ever since 2016. So the issue that most when even the Democrats are saying this is just a show thing, you got to understand that that's probably true. First of all, there's no law against an agreement where I pay you money or you pay money to not talk about something. So that's common. That happens in business a lot and so forth. So that
non-disclosure agreement.
So number one. So what they're trying to get him on, not that he had the non-disclosure, and not that his attorney paid $130,000 to obtain the non-disclosure, but that he used corporate money to repay the attorney who paid the money to the woman for the non-disclosure agreement. So that's a bookkeeping issue, and it's normally a misdemeanor. You know, if you fudge your taxes, the government doesn't charge you criminally because they want to get the right amount of taxes. So usually it's a misdemeanor. Usually it's handled very low key, and the person agrees or disagrees, and it's resolved. So to elevate a misdemeanor to a higher degree, to a felony, is what this DA has done. And even the not all the Democrats, obviously, some are shouting with glee that he's been indicted, but a lot of centrist Democrats especially have said, you know, this isn't going to help anything. And, you know, even if he's convicted, it's not going to serve any time. So it's just a waste of time in the legal system. But For those who hate Donald Trump, it's going to be a day of rejoicing.
That's a thematic remark. Doug sends us a note, says, the left is rejoicing this morning. Ding dong, the witch is dead. I can hear them singing. I'm sorry, but if you can't see what's happening here in our country, then you're part of the problem. The justice system has been weaponized, and the Democrats want nothing more than a one-party system. They're willing to pack the courts, open the borders, throw anyone in jail opposing them. I'm now 100% convinced that they stole the 2020 election. And before you say there's no evidence, the fact that there's been plenty of evidence, it's just that the judges won't even look at it because they're part of the problem as well. The left has demonstrated many times they're willing to do anything to keep someone like Trump, who isn't part of the establishment swamp, from holding office again. We aren't necessarily upset because it's Trump they are after. It's more so that the left is trying to fundamentally change, using President Obama's words, this country by tearing it down completely and going after anybody who doesn't go along with them. And that's from our good conservative listener, Doug. Stan, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
So, is everyone happy to be living in a banana republic now?
Well, or
are we under a communist dictatorship, or maybe the CHICOM system of proven guilty till they prove themselves innocent? Because that's the way Pelosi put it out, that everyone has a right to a trial to prove themselves innocent. She put that out yesterday on a little tweet of hers. So I didn't think that's the way our justice system worked. I thought everyone that was charged was innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Is that how it's supposed to work?
That's what the Constitution says.
Yeah, well, Pelosi seems to have either misread the Constitution or she has gone over to the dark side with her communist puppet masters. But neither here nor there. We'll have to wait to see how it all plays out.
How about she's never even read the Constitution? What's appalling is some of these judges, appointees at least, who are being questioned by Congress about the Constitution, have no clue what the Constitution says, and yet they want to be appointed a federal judge.
Yeah, I've seen some of those clips, and it's pretty pathetic. I mean, I don't claim to be an expert on the law, but I do know a little bit about the Constitution here and there, and some of the basic stuff that they've been asked. They should have learned that in Constitution 101 in law school, I think. But obviously they didn't. So whatever. You know, because you know that those people, even though they're unqualified because they don't know the Constitution, the thing that they're supposed to be judging cases with, will get confirmed. It's just the way the system is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, I don't know how you stop that and how you prevent it and what you do about it after it happens, other than impeach them, but you have to impeach them for a crime or malfeasance.
Now, we don't know what's in the president's indictment, 30 counts. We certainly are familiar with the hush money aspect of this. Stan, what are the other 30 counts? Let's say the hush money.
Well, Mark, it's sealed, so you know as much as anybody else.
But you're certain it's 100% political. It can't be anything else, even though you have no idea what's in it.
Well, that everything that's been coming out has been about the hush money. Okay. So we'll go with that right now. That there is political because the Election Commission, the DOJ, the state prosecutor, and the former city prosecutor there didn't deem it reasonable to prosecute under that. So... And he ran, okay? This is why it makes it look political. He ran on it. He was going to get Trump, just like Letitia James in New York as the AG up there. They ran as they were going to get Trump.
What did he specifically say when he was running?
That he was going to prosecute Trump.
Yeah, send me a clipping.
There's nothing specific. It was he was going to prosecute Trump.
Okay,
there's clips out there. I've seen them. I don't know, you know, but whatever. It's neither here nor there. Time will tell how this plays out and what happens. Okay, but it looks like we've gone down the banana republic path. But so now, as far as guns, I think everyone should be required to purchase that AR today. I think everybody needs to go out and purchase at least one. And as much ammo as they can afford to go with it, and 10 30-round magazines. Okay? I think that's what needs to happen.
And the least expensive AR is, what, $300 or something?
It's a little more than that. Now, I think it, I was down to the gun show at Harrisburg on the weekend, and I think that there wasn't anything less than probably $425.
Okay.
But, yeah, they're cheap.
Maybe we can get some grants to help us pay for this. Anyway, go ahead, Stan. I interrupted you.
Yeah, buy as much as you can afford and keep it handy. It may be necessary. Because, you know, we are all part of the irregular militia, okay? You know, we're not part of the regular militia, because that would be, right now they consider that the National Guard when it's under state control. But when the feds, when the federal government decides to federalize it because they need the troops, well, then it becomes federal. So, but that's just my opinion on it. But as far as the assault weapons ban that they're pushing, as I've said in the past, and this is for Chris, the assault weapons ban in 94 didn't ban anything other than cosmetic features. The gun, basic guns were all exactly the same. And what they will do this time, if they get their wish, is they will not grandfather anything in, because they probably maybe learned a lesson that, you know, but I don't know, but they'll try it again, maybe. Not right now, they won't, because the Republicans are in charge of the House, so they won't. I don't care how bad Biden lies about things. They won't do it, but they may change things. But my question is, there's over 10 million of them in the hands of law-abiding citizens. How are they going to come and get them? Are they going to come and get them? Or are they going to say, you either turn them in or you become a felon? So right away, they're going to do what they've done with these pistol braces and other things. Something that was perfectly legal when they were purchased is all of a sudden made illegal. And if you don't turn them in as the government demands, you become a felon.
All right.
That's another sign that we're going headed down a banana republic path.
All right, we got you, sir. Thank you so much.
Y'all have a great day.
Yep, you too, buddy. Thanks for calling in. All right, we invite more comers, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as a half a dozen individuals have done. You can text us at 70236, include the keyword OTM. When Trevor Finn was here on talking about the death penalty, which I don't believe he said he does not favor the death penalty, right? Were we able to extract
that? Does not favor,
all right. One of our good listeners says, when there is irrefutable proof of a person committing a murder, they deserve death, and the execution should be public. And one of our listeners, another listener says, that wishy-washy guest candidate this morning would lose my vote with one answer he actually gave, that he's proud of his accomplishment of pushing a so-called vaccine on people in his district, says Doug, our good conservative listener. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. Call us now, 570-743-9565.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body, with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, we got three callers lined up. And I believe line 2 is up next to be the first one. That would be Mike. Good morning, sir. You are now on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, I find this situation with Trump to be very interesting now. You know, he was essentially easily beaten last election. The Democrats, you know, say that. And, you know, I think it goes without saying that the majority of people think that Trump is his own worst enemy. So I'm thinking, why wouldn't they want him to waltz into the nomination and win again? Because Also, a lot of people believe that many of the candidates he backed, like even here in Pennsylvania with Mastriano, I think that Trump got him the nomination and he turned out to be not so good. And, you know, so Trump really was looking like the Democrats' best friend. So that has me wondering. And then, you know, we were hearing a couple days ago that this indictment wasn't going to come for another month and on and on and on. Then all of a sudden, it seems like something changed, and here it is. So my question is there anything that possibly changed that wanted this indictment to come out right now? That's just a question. I don't expect either one of you to have an answer, but like always, I have a lot of questions.
Well, I think we all have a lot of questions. You know, it's first of all, the indictment is sealed. Nobody has any idea what it is. I've heard that it's one charge. I've heard that it's 30 charges. So, you know, it's all speculation at this point. We ought to all just take a deep breath and wait and see what happens.
No, I agree 100%. And for me, Trump really is just kind of a distraction with what's going on. Joe Manchin, Democrat, Senator, West Virginia, help build Biden get his Build Back Better plan in here, and the Democrats basically double-crossed him, which he outlines in the an article in the Wall Street Journal. And I have to think that Biden cannot be doing so many things wrong to this country by accident. And what I mean by that is our energy policy. One thing that would lower inflation dramatically is if we did everything we could to produce more oil immediately, okay? And just the idea that our government says we're going to produce more oil, I think would have an impact on energy things. And he doesn't do that. And the last thing I want to say is I was listening to a guy talk the other day, and he said that if you take a map of the United States and put circles around all the areas that have George Soros basically anointed district attorneys, and he used Philadelphia, New York, and a couple of other places, and then he said if you look at the crime rates and murder rates, you see within those circles dramatic increases since those district attorneys took office. And New York is one of them. And this fella here that basically, you know, the word is that he ran on the idea that he was going to prosecute Joe Biden. And finally, the last thing I'm going to say, when you have an area that's full of Democrats, you know, maybe 90%, it's pretty hard to get a grand jury that I would say would be one of your peers, so to speak. You know, I wouldn't want to, myself, as outspoken as I am and is basically libertarian and conservative, I think I'd have a hard time getting past the grand jury in any of those areas myself. So that's right. My rant for the day.
All right, we got you, sir. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Always appreciate it. Let's see. Next up would be line one. Lance, you're on the mark, please. Or no, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Yeah, I'm hearing Joe. All right, Joe from somewhere here. All right, yeah, I do want to just touch on some. This is a lot to get, but I know you have callers, so let me know when my time's up. So we were talking about the counts, and I know it's not exactly 30. I don't know if it's 36 exactly, but one possibility, I know John said take a breath and wait till it all comes out, but I'm going to get mine in anyhow. So it could be that every check that Trump wrote to Cohen would be a violation, right? Do you see what I mean? That they're kind of making one crime of the repayment. Every check would be a crime, part of the crime, and that's how they get that number.
That could be.
Right, okay. So that's just a could be. I don't know. But one thing I wanted to say about that is that at a certain point, we knew that a long time ago when Cohen went his trial and he went to jail, right? That all came out, and plus, he was really tried on this tax evasion on the investments of two taxi cab companies. Do you remember that?
Right.
That was Cohen's, where they really got a hold of him on that, and then they pressured him into say, well, now we got a foothold to get you in court, and we're going to get this charge of campaign finance also on you. So do you remember the taxi cab? That was part of the issue with Cohen's
Right, he was convicted on
that. That's my remembrance.
Yeah.
If we don't, anybody can look it up. But that's the part about... But what I wanted to say is that if all that's the old evidence and they've only been talking about the issue with Cohen and the repayment of the how they describe it as hush money, there has to be a point in the grand jury then where there's new evidence. And that's what I'm waiting for when the new when the charges come out next, if it is next week, that there'll have to be something new in there, because they recalled Cohen's lawyer, Costello, right? And he verified that Cohen said that he has nothing on Donald Trump. I can't bring Donald Trump into this when Cohen, before Cohen went to trial for his law breaking, right? Or you know that Costello was Cohen's lawyer, and he more or less testified against him at the grand jury, which is the most uncommon thing, when the defense saying Donald Trump could enter in a defense in the grand jury. That is so unusual. And Costello testified basically against Cohen.
Right.
So there has to be a new discovery right near the end of the grand jury or right before. So that's my little bit of take on what's coming up is that. But if I have any time, I would like to go back to yesterday, Mark. And
yep, very briefly. You got another minute.
I'll try to get it in quick. That you're taking away some of my job here as the czar of the erroneously reported information czar, and that acronym is Eric. And you really corrected him yesterday. I got called away. I would have liked to call, but you did really correct him on his stats, and some of the stuff that he said is really why he gets the nickname Eric the Red, and maybe now Eric the Saint because of all the credit drops. But one thing he said, he seems to have the right to not be scared when he goes out because of people having guns and such, which that I don't know if that's in the Constitution or not.
It's in the Bill of Rights, yep.
Not to be scared, that's in there somewhere?
I read the Democratic... No, I'm just kidding.
But anyhow...
My thumbnail version doesn't have that.
His take on yesterday, and, you know, he's done that in the past. He doesn't look at... He barely touched on the he called it a troubled woman, or troubled young woman. That was it. Hardly talked about the Second Amendment rights of the law-abiding citizen. It was all about his wanting to take guns away from law-abiding citizens, and I still won't agree to that in any way.
Right.
I don't get that, but he didn't address, you know, making a soft, that it's a soft target at school. The person probably had other targets that for that kind of action, and the fact that, you know, you don't want to make the school look like a
prison. I read an article yesterday that there has not been one mass shooting at a school that has armed security.
Exactly. That, and he doesn't address that. And that's, and instead of fighting tooth and nail to dig into somebody's right to own a gun, rather than try to harden the targets, he would rather fight against law-abiding citizens that have a constitutional right to have a gun, rather than try to infringe on his feelings of, I don't want my grandchildren or children to be in a school that looks like a prison. That's ridiculous. He's so concerned about children, he won't move off the fact that it's going to be easier to amend the Second Amendment than to harden targets such as schools. I just don't see it.
Do every law that we have negatively impacts law-abiding citizens? That's the nature of laws. I mean, the goal is
right,
to achieve
right.
some sort
I,
of
I understand that, but rarely are they spelled out so succinctly as the Second Amendment.
Gotcha.
Right? I mean, speeding, right, okay, right. I understand a lot of that, and I understand the philosophy of laws don't have to be made for people that are good, right? They're mainly, though, for law breakers. Break the law, this is what society has determined
right,
as
that's what locks
society
are
overall, but we're gonna say, you know, those people that overstep it, they're going to have to pay some kind of social penalty for it, either money or time in jail or something like that. So I understand the whole idea of isolating lawbreakers and why the law is...
We got you.
If you never speeded in your whole life, that speed limit law means nothing to you, right?
All right, we got you, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Time's up.
Yep,
good
really
deal.
Appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. All right, I got to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company, and it's not just any old place. It's a fabulous car dealer in Sunbury. Two locations, North 4th Street and Sunbury, down at the North 4th Street Plaza, they call it, and Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can also visit one more address that's got everything, and that's SunburyMotors.com. If you go to North 4th Street, they got the quick lane. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. SunburyMotors.com also has some online specials. You can build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specifications. I haven't driven a Ford truck in almost 5 hours. Let's see, you backed up. Is that considered a gray? Your truck is considered gray? You've backed in a Sunbury Motor Company, gray, gorgeous looking color. I just love it. Ranger, just 45 minutes ago, and there's a lot of happy customers around here. People who watch their money go to the Sunbury Motor Company because they're a volume dealer. Their prices are superb, and they will certainly try to match any other price that you can get anywhere else. So check out the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. All right, we are talking about President Trump and the indictment, not yet unsealed, but most folks know the theme of it. That's good enough. Plus, it came up during our conversation with Commissioner Finn, who's running for State House, the uneven playing field in our courts. If it's either money or Democrats that tip things in one favor or another. We certainly know money does that, but what about Democrats weaponizing things? That seems to be an accusation, so we can talk about that. Of course, we're talking about guns and taking away guns from people. I don't think that would work in this country. We're close enough to civil war as it is, and I think that would put us over the edge. I do like Stan's mandatory AR purchase. I've been bucking for one at home for a while. I just can't justify.
Mama won't approve.
Right, I can't justify the $1,000 yet. But when it does happen, there is a Ruger AR that's got Lawrence written all over it. So, but we have to wait for the mandatory. Although she'll have one too, right? I guess it's everybody. All right, we'll take a quick break, but what's your view on these topics? 570-743-9565. I even had to take notes before this. I sent John an invitation yesterday that said everything's going pretty well in the country except for the gerrymandering, the Electoral College, the money influencing the courts, and, of course, free elections are out the window. Law enforcement is, of course, understaffed, and some are questioning it. The trust in law enforcement, I guess, is the issue. Social media is out of control. People feel their voices aren't being heard. President Trump's rhetoric is one of our problems. Let's see, those are the ones I can think of.
Yeah, well, you know, we can go on and on because we do have a lot of problems. The problem is we're not solving problems. All we're doing is shouting at each other and criticizing each other, but we're not solving the problems. And that's why we hire these people and send them to Washington to solve problems. And we haven't had problem solvers down there for probably 15 years or 20 years.
Strangely enough, one of the most partisan caucuses down there is the Problem Solvers Caucus. So, but that's another topic. Okay, so let's get Lance on the radio. Lance, thank you so much for your patience. Really, really appreciated. You are on the mark.
All I do, I just have this on speakerphone, and just like I'm listening anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But anyway, with reference to your guest, why I think Edna Millay said it really the best about people like him. Whatever is good or bad or both is certainly better than the none. And that's really where the guy was. I mean, no. And my dad was still alive. He said, you know, the man missed his calling. So what he should have been? Should have been a boxer, because he poor had the old bob and weave down, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to weigh in on these big divisive issues because, I mean, he's vote-seeking now. And but these topics will come up in Harrisburg. They came off our Harrisburg list. We didn't make them up. Plus, our good friend Lance holds us accountable if we don't ask the big three.
In the upcoming sessions, those are things that are really going to be debated very hard. I'm very, very sure of that. So it's isn't just academic. I mean, this is real world.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, yep. Always got me here. With abortion. The only thing a woman's doing with her body is killing somebody. I mean, that's just what's going on. And the pills that they have, right? Did you ever see what a 10-week-old baby looks like? Well, we have little cufflinks, and they're miniature feet. And they are exactly the size of a 10-week-old baby. For cufflinks, you know?
Congressman Keller wears a pair of feet on his lapel at all times.
Well, I mean, it kind of drives it home, doesn't it? That this is not just a clump of cells. And even if it was a clump of cells, they're still human cells, right? And what it comes down to, really, I guess, is, well, what the Quan lady said, is how much discomfort would you endure and what chance would you take to save the life of another human being? And, well, to a lot of people, it's not very much. I mean, I don't have a TV set, but I've seen some videos of those protests. One that was up in New York that I don't even think was even covered. The boys up here from the boys' school, they were up there, and they're the ones that had the permit. All they were holding was holding their signs, and these people were coming in, and I mean, really being horrible to them. And I can't see that those kind of folks are really what we need more of. So maybe it's a plus for society, that these folks aren't reproducing.
Well, everybody wants to stand up for their rights as they see them.
Yeah, I understand. If your right is to kill another human being, I guess, okay, you got the right.
All right, we got you, Lance. Thank you so much for calling in. Yeah. Always good to hear from you, sir.
You
bet. All right, so Dale, go right ahead. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say, is it possible to have the regular flu and not test positive for COVID?
Yes, of course.
No, it's not. You better check your facts.
Okay.
Bill Gates just said that last week. He just contradicted himself. They caught him. It was like about 3 years ago. He said, oh, no, you can still have the common flu and not test positive for COVID. Someone questioned him last week. He said, no, if you have the common flu, you will test positive for COVID. And they replayed it for him. He's like, well, at that time, it was different circumstances. So, Mark, get your facts right.
And plus, sorry, buddy.
The only way you're a true blue Democrat if you had 8 boosters and you're still wearing a mask. I mean, really,
eight
who did
boosters.
A better job at COVID? Democrats or communist China? Who did a better job? I think Democrats.
Who did it better?
Give them award. Yeah, we got to give them awards. You know, they really scared everybody. That, you know, like the sky was falling. Yeah, I think they lost their mind. I really do. I think some people just lost their mind.
It's gone around,
like,
I'll
like
tell you.
Like, common sense just flew out the window. Anybody talks about COVID again, we should just hold them down and just give them, like, 6 boosters. I mean, really. It's sickening.
Hold them down and give
children.
Them 6
you hurt
boosters.
Our children. The Democrats put too much damage on our children that they would never. They should be put in a burn pit, burned, because these children are destroyed because of COVID. Well, the common flu, I'd say. These guys destroyed them. You destroy the kids. I'm so mad about that. Children, I mean, should be left alone. I mean, I respect our seniors, but our children are number one. We should be left alone. These guys destroyed them. Now these guys are trying to put pedophile books in the schools. Now, if the priest did that, it would have been a big uproar. You know, the Democrats are really, I mean, they're like the devil. And they don't even see what they're doing.
Oh, demonic forces. That's the second mention of demonic forces lately.
Leave our children alone, okay? If you can't take 6 boosters, don't force them on our children.
All right.
Or pedophile bull stuff like that. Sickening.
All right. We got you. All right. Thank you so much, Dale. Much appreciated. All right. 570-743-9565. We got a bunch of emails. I'm going to read one, and then we have to take the break, and then we have Joe from Sunbury who's going to get to enjoy his minute. It says, Mark, I start this email by stating I am the owner of firearms, a hunter, and I reload my own ammunition. I took the United Kingdom or it took the United Kingdom one school shooting in Scotland in 1996, killing 16 students, a teacher, and injuring 15 others before they enacted sweeping legislation banning most handguns and semi-automatic weapons. By June of 2022, over the last several years, in England, Scotland, and Wales combined have seen about 30 gun deaths compared to the U.S.'s 19,384. That doesn't mean you can't own a firearm in the U.S. I've been to the Scottish Highlands hunting small game fowl, and red stag is a popular sport. During my travels throughout parts of Europe and the U.K., I had the opportunity to visit many small villages and talk to the locals, many of whom have never visited the colonies. Their general view of us is that we are still a frontier culture obsessed with owning and carrying firearms. Based on your comments, Mark, and the comments of your callers, I can't say their interpretation is incorrect. However, you can't overlook the facts that during the past 93 days, there have been 131 mass shootings in the U.S., and yet we do nothing but thoughts and prayers. We have surpassed the definition of insanity by doing the same thing over and over. What is it going to take before you and your callers realize serious legislative action at the state and federal levels is needed to end these senseless killings? I don't even believe you or your callers would change your mind if an incident affected you personally. We refuse to learn from the actions that taken in other parts of the world that have reduced the number of mass murders in their country. I believe this could because our USA inflated ego interferes with our logical thinking. So for the rest of us, life will continue. The mass murders will continue, and the thoughts and prayers in the entire world will not solve this problem. I refer you back to the prayer offered by the U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black Tuesday in 2023 before the assembled body. Was this in Washington or in Tennessee?
Yeah, this is the Senate.
Oh, it was in the U.S. Senate. Okay. Here's that prayer. He says, Lord, deliver us from our senator, or deliver our senators. Well, actually, I like deliver us from our senators. That might be better. But anyway, Lord, deliver our senators from the paralysis of analysis that waits for the miraculous, and use them to battle the demonic forces that seek to engulf us. Okay? All right. 570-743-9565. We will be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai. North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Friday. Is it Friday already?
All right, we got two callers and not tons of time, so we're going to read one email. One of our listeners says, be sure to check your facts. Uvalde did have an armed security force, and of course that happened. You're going to check that. They had one guy that was there and one guy that was not there at the time.
I think one was not even on the premise.
Okay. All right, well, we'll check that. Yeah, good point. Thank you for that emailer. Joe, you're on the mark. You get about 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or no, 1 minute. I'm sorry, 1 minute.
Right, 1 minute. Okay. So I did want to... like a clarification on the constitutional carry when you asked your guest Finn about constitution. Did I hear him say that he was against it because it would make the person carrying the weapon the target?
Yes.
Well, that may be one of the more arrogant statements of a politician that I've ever heard in my life.
Well, is it not true in any way?
His wanting to protect the citizen so much from himself. I'm thinking, okay, you're the guy who says, don't wear your Rolex while you're walking downtown New York because you're just enticing someone to rob you.
All right, I mean, that's a minute.
That might not be the exact
Thank you.
But he's saying that he can tell.
All right, thank you, Joe. I'm sorry to do this. We got to get the next caller so they get their time, too. Joseph, you're on the mark.
Yes, so he's talking about Civil War, and, you know, you hear a lot about that because the country's so divided between Democrats and Republicans and the liberals and the conservatives. And I just had this thought the other evening. If we don't learn from history, we're bound to repeat it. The Civil War back in the 1800s, there was the South against the North, and it was slavery, and the slave owners were basically the big shots and politicians, basically Democrats. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and they would not allow their slaves to have weapons. Am I right?
Correct.
They could not own guns.
No.
And it's the Democrats today, we're the slaves. They want to make us the slaves. In other words, the slaves being Republicans. Now, I know slaves weren't Republicans in the South, but just that analogy. And they want to take away our weapons. It was a communist state. In other words, the state wanted to rule everything, and they would tell the slaves who they would dare mate with, and how many children they would dare have, when they went to bed, when they got up. This is basically what the Democrats want to do to us today. They want to take away our guns, take away our rights, and want to rule everything. And what's going to come out of that is another civil war. I really believe that. There's going to be an uprising like it never has been in this country between two... between the conservatives and the liberals.
Well, in as much as we're fomenting a civil war, all of our partisan natures, we can also prevent one.
Well,
we're going to have to do something.
I don't think it's going to. I think it's going to happen, and out of that will come a Democrat, I believe, that will be what they call the Antichrist and bring about a peaceful settlement somehow through the economics, and that's going to bring in the New World Order.
All right, we got you, Joseph. We got to give the last word to our good guest here, but thank you, sir. Well
okay,
said, as
for
always.
Okay, thank you for
letting me talk. Yep, you got it. Anytime.
I think what Trevor was trying to say is that if you are a gun owner and you carry and you're not trained, you haven't taken courses, you don't know how to use the gun and so forth. As you know, it takes practice. If you buy a different gun, it handles differently than the other one you had before. So there is a risk that if somebody just buys a gun for self-defense and puts it in their purse or puts it in their pocket and is carrying it and you attempt to use it, there's a chance that the other person may have more experience using a gun and you may be a victim anyway.
A lot of guns are used against the carrier.
Sometimes. But more often than not, it's the armed citizen that stops the bad guy.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Coming up, good conversation. I wanted to talk to you about banking.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about banking another day.
Honest to Pete. So
it is a concern.
Well, you're right. I did put that on that list of dilemmas that we have in the U.S. It wasn't the feel-good email I ever sent out, I'll tell you that. We could read it Monday if somebody wants to hear it. Thank you for coming up. Always much appreciated.
Have a great day.
Thanks for all your community work and everything you do. John Shipman of Sunbury, very active community leader, not as active as years past, but still making a difference everywhere he goes, including here. You're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News Time, it is now 10 a.m. Good morning.
You're out.